Hey, yo, what up? It's your man, Young Buck. G-Unit inside for the building. I'm holding it down. Buck the World, November 28th. And you hear it on DoorCNN.com. When you see us in the street, you know what to do. G-Unit.
What's up, bro? Last time I spoke to you, it was when you were in Sweden back in 2004. I got you that cuz. You tore up the club. How you been?
Hell yeah. I've been good, man. Holding it down out here, bro. A lot of shipping going since Sweden, bro.
Yeah, tight shit, man.
Working on this new racket, Buck the World. Crazy out here, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. You know, you recently did a banging hook to a song with Spider Log and my homie BG Knockout. Called Another Day in L.A. How did that came about?
I mean, it's just pretty much being out there in L.A., man, spite of my homeboy through the unit and everything, but outside of the music game, I've been out there in L.A., like, off and on throughout my whole life, like, you know what I'm saying? So, that whole atmosphere is like half a Buck, you know, L.A., the South is kind of like what makes Buck up. Then you got the East Coast with the unit, so, shit.
Yeah.
That's really how that all came about. Me being out there, with me having whoops in L.A., I felt like I'm a South nigga who was able to do a hook like that.
Exactly, and like everybody been saying that, showing you a lot of love that you showed BG Naka because he just got out of jail after doing 10 years, and you blessed him with that tight hook, and you put him on the track with Spider. That was tight.
Yeah, BG a motherfucking real nigga, though. Like, and then, like you say, he been gone for 10 years, so... It's a long time being behind a penitentiary wall. I felt like, shit, let me go ahead and give some energy to the homeboy. He deserves it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, real talk. And you know, Bug, let's go back in time. Like, how was it growing up in Tennessee?
Shit, man, everyday street shit, bro. Just basically any ghetto, bro. When you come from any ghetto where the environment is robbery. Right here, we got the gang thing crack, so gang banging, robbery, murders, and shit like that going down. You know, you're going to do whatever you got to do. If you're a motherfucker who forced to in this position, so that's pretty much my life, bro. I'm a motherfucker who brought up in the hood, come from the ghetto for real, and I was a motherfucker who had to put my hands on it, not be around somebody else who hands on it. You know what I mean? I had to actually put my hands on that other shit to be able to survive.
Yeah.
And bro, I'm ready from the game. I'm ready from the streets, like.
Yeah. And, you know, it's been a long time since you've been broke. Like, you're not ahead of G-Unit South. What's it like being a CEO now?
Man, it feels good. Like, G-Unit South is a movement. Cashville Records is my label. So, G-Unit South is like the movement. That's pretty much what you're going to always hear throughout everything.
Oh, okay.
It feels good being a CEO, though, of Cashville Records, bro. It's like, just to be able to put other artists in the game. And with me focusing right now, my group 615, the artist named
High C,
D-Tay, and Lil Murder.
Yeah.
With me being focused on them, they all come from my city, so they come from the same struggle I've been through my whole life, so it feels good to get them opportunity. And just outside of them, just to be able to put other artists that got the talent and deserve at least a shot to make their talent be known, I feel good with playing a part in that, so... You know, that's what I focus on first. I focus on the quality of the music, and then we'll get the money next. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
This shit gotta be right. And
right.
Then I believe in checking niggas' report cards, man. You gotta have a report card, fucking fuck. Shit gotta have all that you can be.
Yeah. And what, do you have any plans on signing any more artists in the near future?
Yeah, me and Sebo. I'm probably gonna sign
Sebo,
that's for sure, from the West Coast.
Damn, man. How did you squash the beef with him?
It never was a beef with Sebo, you know what I'm saying? It was like, I think at the end of the day, it was Sebo in a position where he was put in a position where he was like, yo, let me speak on some shit. But really, just as an artist, just trying to, you know, show his loyalty to another situation. And then at the end of the day, like I say, I'm a West Side nigga too, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm out there. And he was humble enough to come present himself and let me know the way he got down with his situation. I respected it, you know what I'm saying? And shit, we end up doing a little more business, and then we understand shit starts kind of like falling in the way of it looking like, you know what I'm saying, this is where homeboy want to be, so.
That's tight.
You know, he popped it to me, like, yo, fuck, nigga, let's go on and do the damn thing. Listen, I'm ready to go on and fuck with this Cashville Records, G-Unit South shit, so. I'm
tight
on
shit.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. And And you know that incident at the Viva Wars that happened with Dre and shit? Have y'all been closer since that happened? Like, are you much closer friends with Dre now?
Yeah, Dre been my nigga from the day one. That didn't bring us no closer, and it didn't pull us further apart. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Okay.
At the end of the day, a lot of people may feel like, you know, what the situation happened is the reason for Dre's whole introduction to being on my album when it wasn't even the case. It was like Dre was already in the plan of being a part of my next project.
Yeah.
Because I didn't work with him on my first project. And Dre was like, from day one, Dre always was one of the motherfuckers that was in my corner. Like, he always gave me nothing but true love. So, you know, I didn't move in the sense of that Viva Wars shit. You know, like,
yeah,
coming in that building feeling like I'm finna go stars and shit. That's how I feel like I walked away from the shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What I did with is right there for you to see.
Exactly.
So it's like, you know, I come in that motherfucker, my mind frame is I'm finna check out some of these fine ass hoes going around here and get my award like any other real nigga, but shit don't be that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I'm the type of motherfucker where if I'm in a position and I feel like my loved ones or anything that around me is in danger, I'm going to do whatever take my life and theirs. So shit.
Right.
That's pretty much what went down with that whole shit. You know
okay.
what I'm saying?
But
look, though.
Yeah, man.
That nigga live, so it's okay.
Yeah, that's tight. Have you worked with Dre anything like this past year?
Dre produced like 3 records on my new album. Fuck the world, bro. My new album's crazy, man.
Tell him about that new album.
Yeah, Dre, he produced like 3 records on there. Eminem produced some. I work with High Tech. I work with Timbaland.
Right.
I work with Justice League. Jazzy Faye produced a lot of killer shit. Focus, man. I got a lot of high-name producers. Man, Big Boy produces a DJ Paul, Lil Jon produced something on there, bro. I work with everybody.
Damn.
Yeah, bro, with this record right here, you're gonna get the real full fucking explosion of Young Buck.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? Feature wise, homie, you're gonna get records like me, T.I., Young Jeezy, and Pimp C together on songs. You know what I'm saying? I got a record with me, Snoop Dogg, and Trick Daddy, and shit like that.
Damn. I heard the first single with Jazzy Faye, Straight Fire, man.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to really kind of take it to the club and get a lady something they can feel and something that the fellas can feel too. So that's one of them records where you can just hit in the club and do your thing, or you can jump in your car, roll yourself up, and enjoy that motherfucker too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So you got something for everybody, right? Like it's
yeah, something for everybody, man. I'm not no one coast person, man. I'm not just gonna give you a totally down south record or a totally west coast or east coast. Because at the end of the day, I'm a rolling stone, man. It's like my life is really set. Well, I'm born in the South, all my family's out west, and all my homeboys is on the east, and half of them is everywhere. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm a rolling stone, and my music kind of like cater to that way.
Okay, and what's the difference between the new album compared to Straight Outta Cashville?
I just, you know, with my first record, I feel like with that album, you know what I'm saying? It was a good introduction album almost. It did exactly what I was looking forward to do. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? I wanted the world to know who I am, where I'm from, and what I'm about. And shit, that's exactly what I established with that record. You feel what I'm saying? And with this one, it's like, man, I judge my music off reality, homeboy. Shit that a nigga going through on a day-to-day experience. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I feel like that's the only way people gonna be a true fan of your music is if they can pull something through these verses we put out and say, yo, I'm going through that. I know somebody going through that. I don't want to go through it.
Right.
So I base mine on real life and shit, man. I've been going through a lot of shit that the world know about and a lot of shit the world don't know about.
Right.
And I just choose to bottle it all up and put it on this album. And I couldn't. They wouldn't let me name my album Fuck the World, because if I could, I would. So Fuck the World, nigga. That's what my frame the album put that. The title speaks for the album itself, you know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
No limits and expect the unexpected, you know what I mean?
Okay.
But you won't hear no beef shit, no gang disses and all that extra shit. I ain't with that shit, man.
Good.
This shit's so real life with me. I feel like, you know, whatever, if it's real, like this beef shit, we're going to take it and put it in the street. I'm going to do my music. I'm in a whole different vibe of that shit because, like, nigga, I'm a hands-on, nigga. I'm going to see what niggas going to do with it if we face-to-face with it.
Yeah, I feel you, man.
Put it this way, if we rapping about this shit on these tracks, beefing with each other, back and forth, if I know about it, then the police know about it. If you know about it, the police know about it. So I'm going to keep it on the low and see what it's about. You
right.
know what I mean?
I feel you, man. So When is the official release date for your album?
November 28th. And y'all, put this in there.
Yeah.
Shit. If you spray my, you spray paint my motherfucking November 28th on the project building, and get at me, I'm gonna break you off.
Right. Okay, man. Do you think it's a good thing or bad thing that you, Lloyd Banks, and Hot Rod are dropping all around the same time?
Nah, it's a good thing.
It's a good thing, huh? What do you think about people saying that G-Unit is like selling less and less each time every artist drop? Like Mobb
Deep. You know what it is? It's just a, you know what? I think it's pretty much just the whole factor of, you know, the last couple projects wasn't successful and people was pretty much looking forward to them to be. I think the Tony Ayo project came out with Gold, and then, you know, Mobb Deep project came out and doing what it's doing. It's like, they used to getting so much success from the unit that they feel like Gold ain't good enough, when at the end of the day, Gold is really what half these artists has never even seen.
Yeah.
So our standards is set so high, people only expect the best. And the minute that they get a little loss, you know, it be like, oh, shit, because, you know, you used to winning so much. So even the albums that I feel like didn't win with the unit, it wasn't because they wasn't good albums. It was just, you know, other situations such as Yayo album, I feel like, you know, he dropped and then 2 weeks later 56 albums dropped.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that caused a little conflict. And with Mobb Deep, you know, I just really don't understand their situation, because I feel like that was one of the best Mobb Deep albums that
had
been put together, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, at the end of the day, it's just about making good music, bro, you know what I'm saying? And I can guarantee you, for us, Young Buck and Lloyd Banks moving, bro, you finna get the same fucking shit, you know, the same energy, but better music, because we only grow with the music, and the energy never stops, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We reinvent ourselves as artists and stay the same as people, you know what I'm saying?
I feel you. So what I...
Shit gonna stay on top. We on top now, we ain't went nowhere, bro, we gonna stay right here.
For sure.
Just don't lose focus. Stay right here with us, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know, in G-Unit, who's the favorite person to collaborate with?
I'd probably say 50, bro. Because
okay.
Ain't no telling what the fuck the dude gonna do.
Alright.
So you know what I'm saying? With 50, is always what the fuck to... I don't know what the fuck to expect.
Yeah. What about outside G-Unit? Who's your favorite?
Young Jeezy, that's my homework. You know what I mean? We move Young Jeezy and T-Pop, bro. We kind of like move outside of music.
Cool.
The streets and shit, man. Me and Jeezy really, really move in the streets for real. So that's like my homeboy, my number one homeboy outside of the unit. I don't really fuck with too many other motherfuckers that's in the rap game. I don't, you know what I'm saying?
And yeah. And
Jeezy's not a rapper. I'm not a rapper. We just street niggas in a sense. So that shit make it feel good to be able to be in this rap game.
Yeah.
And have another motherfucker that I know that come from that same pit that I was in. You can relate to a nigga, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know, do you sometimes think about, like, how hard life was back then and where you are right now? Is it mind-tripping?
Yeah, man. I mean, shit, bro. Just to think back on my life, bro, it's crazy. That's why... You know, I'm riding right now, man. I bullshit you not. I'm passing. What's up, young niggas? I'm riding through the project. What's up, niggas? I'm riding through the project right now as we speak. You know what I mean? By my goddamn self. You understand? So for me, bro, it feel good. Just to be able to come through this shit, bro.
Yeah. And
you know what I mean? Still be respected as the same nigga. That just come from me putting my work in before this shit. I'm not judged. My home base, from where I'm from, by the people behind music and my music, because the people hear my music and match it up with my life, my nigga, and be like, hell yeah. Straight up. So, like, for me, I'm a little bit different than the rest, than a lot of different artists, you know what I'm saying? Because they grow their momentum from the rap game. When I grew mine from the streets before the rap game, you know what I'm saying? And then I was blessed to be able to have success with this here.
Right.
And it carry over to make my shit be even powerful to these niggas in the street. So, you know.
All right, man.
Different type of nigga. I got that Pac blood and shit.
Can you share a funny backstage story when y'all was on tour?
shit. Your man Havoc from Mobb Deep.
Yeah.
That motherfucker be getting drunk than a motherfucker, bro. We was on tour. This nigga run out on the stage and fall in a hole in the middle of the stage. All you see is half his body hanging out the hole. He maintained the mic and everything. That's
shit.
One silly ass shit that I can see. But shit, it be so real. Don't too much shit be going down back there. But a whole lot of motherfucking weed getting smoked. You know what I'm saying? The niggas getting in their own song, getting ready to go. Motherfucking crowd, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. When are you coming back out here to Europe, man?
I'll be out there real soon, bro. I mean, I know I gotta come out there because my promo tour is popping. Europe is like, for the unit, that's like, I sit at home and it says, I think we done moved around there more than any fucking American artist, period. You know what I'm saying? So. Yeah, bro, we be looking forward to get over there for the weed, the bitches, you know what I'm saying, and the money, straight up.
As far as the South, man, it's really on top right now, and it has taken, like, the spotlight from, like, New York and Cali, but G-Unit is still holding it down on your own. How did you guys stay on top for so long?
Man, just pretty much being in the streets, you know what I'm saying? It's like a street foundation don't never leave, you know what I'm saying? Meaning that if a motherfucker feel like they're able to be able to relate to you like you are still them, even though you have the success that you have, then they continue to follow you, I think. So that's pretty much what we do, you know. We try to stay as hands-on as possible with the fans of G-Unit. And the motherfuckers who hate G-Unit, we try to turn them into fans, more or less, and give them energy to they hate. You know what I mean?
Right. Do you ever go as far as comparing the current situation in the South with, the golden era in the West, like 93, 94? Or is it even bigger than that?
Yeah. We ain't as big as that era right there. See, that era, I think, was the biggest era in hip-hop, in a sense. That era is too big, in a sense, West Coast. You know what I'm saying? That was like, the world was bridged off of that era, in a sense. The whole Pac, that whole movement out there back then, from the Snoop and Dre movement, the whole N.W.A. I think gangster rap, period, is bridged from the West Coast, honestly. You know what I'm saying? I'm just blessed to be able to have affiliation of a life set out there before rap. So my shit is being a South nigga, born and raised, bred and from this shit. But all my family and my shit is turning out there on that coast where you from and shit. So you get half and half with me, and then I'm surrounded by the East Coast. So it's like a nigga rolling stone with my shit. I can't even put no name on my style of music. It's just that I do the damn thing, you know what I mean?
Right. But it's close, though, to being from where the West was.
Yeah, we're close to being from where the West was. I think we got to continue putting in work. You know, at the time, you know, I think at the end of the day, we represent right now the togetherness that how the West was. The West was together, in a sense. And right now, you got motherfuckers like Snoop that I really, really worship in the sense of putting that back together. He's the reason, in a sense, of keeping a lot of shit and trying to put motherfuckers together in that whole West Coast movement that niggas is trying to pull together. I'm a South nigga, and I feel like I'm a part of just putting that, or being a part of that whole movement and coming together because, like I say, I got a life out there, too. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, with that shit, bro, I feel like we represent the togetherness, you know, in the South. You got artists like me and Jeezy and T.I. We run together and Ludacris and shit. We are moving in the sense of together. You don't really hear too many Southern artists beefing with each other.
Yeah, right.
I should say, you know what I'm saying? And,
yeah.
You know, like that, back then it wasn't that. It was just like that with the West Coast, you know what I'm saying? They may have beef with the East at the time, but you really wasn't hearing West Coast artists beefing with each other.
Yeah.
We represent that much, you know what I'm saying, of it. And, you know, we represent the money part because we're getting our bread out here, you know what I mean, for goddamn show.
All right, for sure. How do you think the demand for your album is going to be? Like, a lot of times people anticipate, like, a rapper's debut album, but after that it kind of dies down. So how do you see it in your situation?
Yeah. I think the anticipation comes within the person, you know what I'm saying? For me, you know, you got real-life issues that motherfuckers, as far as my first album, that niggas that had a chance to realize and see, that make them grow a little focused the book for us, the vibe of war incident. And just me being in the streets, that shit get around, you know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers start to know Buck. Buck is a street motherfucker for real. Or, you know, that nigga really down to earth and shit like that. So that anticipation carries the same crowd that you had, your crowd that went bought your album. I think if you deliver the good album, they gonna stay there, and you grow. You know, you grow. Yeah. So the anticipation for me, I pretty much think it's just on the strength of, you know, me being involved in other artists' projects and having hot fucking features in, on other people's albums, such as T.I., you know, the 666 record, Stay Fly, the Bunny in the Bank, and I can go on with other records that I've been featured on during my wait. So I've never went nowhere to the streets, you know what I'm saying, into the natural eye, and that just keep them hungry. And just the fact of knowing he come again November 28th, Buck the World,
right.
It's like, okay, now we got a date on this nigga, so the anticipation is there. And if you can feed them a good album like me, I can tell you straight up, my shit is on some chronic shit. Nigga, this ain't even a good album. This is a classic album. And I can promise you that. You know what I mean? That's hard to do. But I can back it up by saying, you know, I work with Dr. Dre. He produced three of them. Eminem produced this on my shit. Wow. Tick produced this on my album. Jazzy Faye produced two of them on there. Lil John produced one. DJ Paul produced one. You know what I'm saying? Focus produced something. Needles produce something, so I can give you all these major names to give you the insight.
Yeah.
Hey, this shit's gonna be crazy. Then I'm gonna come back and tell you, like, nigga, get ready for he and me, Snoop and Trick Daddy together on songs. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Then tell you, like, yo, you finna hear me, T.I., Young Jeezy, and Pimp C all together on one song. You finna hear me, MJG, and A-Ball, and Bun B all together on one song. You finna hear me and Life. You finna hear me and the whole unit together on one song. Shit like that. It's just going to be the anticipation. And when I give it to you, nigga, I'm finna buck the fucking world. They won't let me name my shit Fuck the World. So it's like I'm calm, I'm cool, I'm going to go and give them this shit Buck the World, and we going to get to the money. I ain't on no old shit where I'm finna pay attention to that beef shit, that gang shit, that old Fat Joe and all that old so-called beef shit. I feel like it's been enough put out there for us from our end and from everybody else in, whoever got beef with the unit, where the people can do their own judgment on who real and who fake and what's real and what's fake.
Right, right, right.
For me to continue speaking on any of that shit, I'm devoting energy to something dead. So, nah, nigga, you're not going to get none of that from this album. You're just going to get some real good hood gangster shit. And then I gave the ladies a little bit more that they can fuck with Buck on. You know what I'm saying? With my first record, I only catered to the ladies with one record, Shorty Wanna Ride With Me.
Right.
And with that record, that was the biggest fucking record on my album. So, yeah, man, I had to make sure I keep them wet a little bit longer than what I did, you understand? So I catered to them with at least two to three records, but it's still on some gangster shit. So niggas gonna fuck with it, bro. All right,
for sure.
You just got to let them know to fuck with me, because I'm not playing it. It's dead fucking serious, you know what I mean?
Yeah, all the way. You mentioned, like, beefs earlier, and fans, what do you think about a fan's involvement in a rapper's beef, like when they like analyze everything around it and try to get involved with it and make up like opinions and shit, whether they're gonna like the artist in the future or not? Do you think
I think it's cool, bro. Opinions is like assholes. Everybody,
yeah, everybody got one. But do you think fans have the right to do that, or should they just care about the music?
Yeah, they got the right to do that, bro, because at the end of the day, you know, they have the choice of spending their money on a record. So I think they had a right to judge the artist on the sense of what they like or not. And that's a good judgment. Cause, and then that, I think that's what falls to the bootlegging era. You know what I'm saying? Because it's so much bullshit to get thrown out that the fans run to the bootleg. They run to the bootlegging shit and see if your shit worth buying. And I support that theory because my first album was bootlegged 30 days before it actually dropped. I still came out and maintained the number one rap album in the country and had the number three album in the country and the number one rap album in the country. You know what I'm saying? I would have had the number one album in the country if it wasn't for country-ass Tim McGraw and R. Kelly. So, I, you know, they had both beat me, but they wasn't rappers. So I had the number one rap album, but not the number one in the country. So, and like I said, I was bootlegged 30 days before that, so all I could tell you is, like, when a motherfucker got a good album, motherfucker don't even care about, you know, the bootleg then is used for the anticipation of the hungry and waiting to get it before the album actually come out. You see what I'm saying? And that's what you get when you fucking with Young Buck. I'm an artist that I'm worried about the bootleg system because my shit is so saturated in the fans' hearts and in the, I'm so much in the streets that I know if a motherfucker run and grab mine on bootleg, it's because they can't wait. But when that motherfucker get to the stores, they're going to get it because you don't know whenever it's gone.
Yeah.
Learn that through Tupac. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like, yo, I'm one of them motherfuckers you got to have just because you don't know when he's going to be gone. Hell yeah.
Right. You know, because as far as that beef shit, to me it's a phenomenon because as far as unit, it seems like when people hear something about new, they got cooking it, it seems they're going to like hate it or either love it. It's like nothing in the middle.
Rap fans are not loyal. Most rap fans are not loyal, but you can't blame them, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's
because you
money.
Be loyal. You understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah. I feel.
Yeah, it's like you. It's like most rap fans are not loyal, but I don't blame them for not being loyal because I even been loyal to a few artists, and then I go buy their shit, and I be disappointed like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like, damn. So then you know, that starts to bring down the loyalness to an artist. So being consistent with good material is the key to keeping your fans, cuz, and being real, bro. Keeping 10 toes down in the environment that you come from, but being able to take one foot and step out of that and deal with this shit, like what I'm doing now with you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And remaining the same as a person, but changing with the music, man, and reinventing yourself with the music. And then bottom line, bro, you can't just be laid back with this shit. People don't understand that. You can be the coldest nigga in the world, and if you can't relay your message to a motherfucker and make them understand that you the coldest motherfucker in the world, then you just another cold motherfucker who don't know how to talk, nigga.
Right.
Straight up. So, I'm, you know, you get the real from Buck. You get it all the way. Everything that come with a nigga is here. And then everything that come with the other side, I can get to that, too. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I'm able to be a CEO of my company, Cashville Records, you know what I'm saying, G in the South, and move a whole line. You know, I'm in the making of signing SIBO, too, from out there on the West Coast.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that's how I'm able to move and push a line of the business in and keep my shit steady with the streets and grow my same fan base of the people who not coming from the environment that I come from. It's just because a nigga is a real nigga, bro. A nigga is not no motherfucking type of motherfucker that, you know, I pull up in traffic, you might pull up beside me too, and I'll roll that window down and say, what's up? You see what I'm saying? I'm still that type of nigga. I'm not hidden or put behind no shield where you can't see me, nigga. I'm here. You know what I'm saying? And people love that. You know what I mean?
How do you feel about G-Unit's progress in the last couple of years with all, like, the new additions from every side of the country?
Well, I take my head off to 50 because me just being a CEO myself, I understand how hard it is to put out other projects and then to maintain the whole company structure. So I really take my head off to 50. But far as the artists, I give them, you know, a thumbs up and tell them, yo, you know, let's keep going. Let's keep at it because, you know, the last projects that we put out, they wasn't successful as the recent ones. You know, me and Banks, we was blessed to have Platinum.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And Yayo Kane, he did gold, which I feel like none of their reasons for selling is not all the way their fault. You know, you got situations such as Yayo where he dropped and then 2 weeks later 50 Cent album come out.
Right.
Mobb Deep, I can't really just say because, you know, I don't understand. That was one of the best Mobb Deep albums I've ever heard put together. It just, you know, God has his own way in pushing the projects and making whatever success happen for whoever that person may be. So establish yourself right with the maker, and then you'll be able to get you some paper, nigga.
All right, so, yeah, you mentioned 50 and the new label, Cashville Records. How much did you learn from 50 about being a CDO and having your own label?
I learned a lot from 50, bro. I ain't still learning, you know what I'm saying? I'm so hands-on with 50. 50, like my big brother, he like a nigga mentor, and at the end of the day, he like a nigga guidance, you know what I'm saying, as far as business-wise. I pay him a lot of attention as far as his business moves. It's one of the most powerfulest moves, you know, in not only 50, but in a black human being, period. You know what I'm saying? Period. His success represents a lot, you know what I'm saying, just from his short time being in the game. and then just having the success that he's having to be able to, you know, put his motherfucking artists out, such as myself and other artists. So for me, honestly, bro, I learned so much. The most thing I've learned from 50 is to kind of like do business from a heart, not a hand perspective. You understand what I'm saying, homeboy? What I'm saying is I fuck with people from the heart. That's what 50 do. All of us, he deal with us from the heart. It's not from a hands-on. It's not a business perception. It's not just the money, a deal, and you go do yours and turn your album in. You know, everybody's hands-on. A half of Mobb Deep and fucking M.O.P. probably in the car. They probably riding around each other together now.
Yeah, right.
So I learned from 50 that, you know, in order to make the best of your business, you really have to get hands-on with everything. And even the artists, all the way down to the goddamn T-shirt that's getting printed up. You know what I'm saying? You know, you have to always have total control of everything. Keep your eyes open. And then, you know, trust nobody. 50 trust factors is the shit. He don't trust nobody.
Yeah.
In the sense of being what he done went through, being shot, and just on the fact of what he's learned from the industry, on the fact that motherfuckers that say they'll do this and just don't do it.
Right.
Other different issue. So,
but you know, what's dope to me is even though there's many more cats on the roster now, people still call you like the best of the whole crew.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
I mean, what do you think makes the difference than say to a 50 or Banks? I mean, not to speak bad about them, but more like speaking good about you.
Well, you know what? I think people, like I say, they get a chance to see me a little more, and I get a chance to be involved with a little more outside fans than 50. 50's in a position where he's almost forced to be, you know, gone all the time and behind a desk where he all have to control so much and things of that nature, where it's pretty much sometimes it's kind of hard for him to get to the ghetto. And then I'm so hands-on, and then, you know, I've touched bases in all these different states and shit before I got the success that I'm getting right now, as far as an epitome of touching bases in the state and being involved in the other environment. That shit really, really sticking, I see. You know what I mean? Having that motherfucking report card in these other cities, you know what I'm saying, is more stronger. And people feel like they hands-on. My report card, you know, motherfucker can tell you, hell yeah, I done seen Buck out here on the streets of L.A., running around, or a nigga tell you, yeah, that nigga used to live in the Magnolia with Juvenile. Or they could tell you, damn, hell yeah, I was in Death Row Studios and seen that nigga over there with him and Suge. Shit like that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Niggas can tell you shit like that. And then you got to go from 50 and he give you what he got, and you got to feel his life story. So my life been spread around all these different states. See what I'm saying?
Right.
Before I got to where I'm at now.
Right.
And niggas always know me for real life shit, and it carries over to this here.
Mm-hmm.
But 50 and Banks is the same type of motherfucker that I am. They just more set in their environment with their gangster throughout New York. See, I come from Kansasville, so I had to take my gangster around the world. You know what I'm saying? My section was built on country music, and it's a little small city in a sense. But we do the damn thing, nigga.
Right.